I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Epic victories, heartbreaking defeats. No matter your team, no matter your game, we talk sports on AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
The Washington Capitals are one win away from their first Stanley Cup. Let's get close to the blast zone with Grant Paulson, who's the co-host of Grant and Danny on our sister station, 106.7 The Fan in Washington, D.C., joining us now in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Grant, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Grant, I can only imagine, are fans nervous? Are they? Do you sense the celebration beginning? What is the vibe right now in D.C.?
Well, Capitals fans are always nervous because they've not handled playoff prosperity well. And obviously, during this Rock the Red Alex Ovechkin era that spans back a dozen plus years, they haven't won a second-round playoff series. But they have exercised a lot of demons during this playoff run, getting past Pittsburgh in round two, getting past Tampa Bay, maybe a more talented, certainly a faster team in the Eastern Conference final, and now taking a 3-1 series lead in the Stanley Cup against a favored Vegas Golden Knights club. Because they're up 3-1 and they're playing with a little house money, I guess for a couple of days, maybe just one game, there won't be as much anxiety or nerves. But if they were to drop game five and it was 3-2 coming back to D.C., I think Caps fans would start to feel some of their issues of the past creeping into the back of their mind. But people are very excited. They've played exceptionally well, as you guys have seen, and they've earned the 3-1 series lead that they've garnered.
Yeah, I think to myself, if the Caps have one disadvantage, it's that they have that pressure to close out this Vegas team. I mean, if it does go 3-2, if they do lose in Vegas, now the pressure just intensifies. It makes it even harder for them to close it out at home, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's maybe the one case you could make for wanting to be in Vegas' skates if they were down 3-2, if they could somehow find a way to win, even still being down in the series. All our Washington was in the Eastern Conference final. They were down 3-2 through 5, won the last two games of their series with Tampa to get to the Cup. And after a Game 6 win in their barn, they hit the road to go to Tampa, and all the pressure was on the Lightning because, well, the Capitals going into the series were still the butt of jokes, and everyone said they could never get to a Stanley Cup. Tampa Bay at that point was on the precipice of blowing a 3-2 series lead for the second time in 3 years. And similarly, in the Caps, as I mentioned, five times in their history, they've blown a 3-1 series lead, more than any other team in any sport in history. And I think because of the fact that they have had so much trouble in a scenario where everybody else has no trouble, if they were to lose Game 5, I think it would get to a point where it would be a very nervous, tense time in town. But the fact is they've got three chances to win one game, and they're playing brilliantly. They've won three consecutive games in this Stanley Cup. They're playing a phenomenal brand of defense where they're clearing out home plate. Their rebound control in front of Braden Holtby defensively at the blue line has been sensational. They've been more physical. They've taken a pound of flesh from Vegas. They've negated their speed with neutral zone play that's been the best that we've seen in years here in Washington. And they've always had firepower. Alex Ovechkin tied for the franchise record in goals in a playoff run. And Evgeny Kuznetsov, their top line center, is more points than any Capitals ever had in a postseason and is playing like a Conn Smythe Award winner. So they feel good in that dressing room. They're not thinking about the past. Caps fans, I guess, are a little bit different.
Grant Paulson is the co-host of Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan in Washington here in the Sports Bar, 95.7 ESPN. Grant, you're closer to this than we are, obviously. So you would know, is this a different Alex Ovechkin we're seeing this playoff run?
I think it's a more complete Alex Ovechkin. I think he has played the most diversified, consistent brand of hockey that we've seen in the playoffs at any point. It's exaggerated, frankly, that he doesn't play enough defense or back check, or you know, that he doesn't get on the ice and block shots. He's been doing all those things from time to time for years and years. I liken him to a scorer in basketball, though. You know, a guy who's going to go out and average 33 or 34 in a playoff run. To ask that player to be one of the better defenders or harder working defenders on the floor is a misuse of resources in some ways. You know, there's only so much energy to expend. So they'll always find the one play where he didn't get back at max effort, or you know, he allowed a puck to cross his face and couldn't get his stick on it. Mike Milbury will make a big deal about it for 10 minutes in the national NBC Sports Network telecast, and everyone will beat up on him and pretend like he doesn't play hard enough. That's just not the case. He's not the problem here. He's never been the problem here. He's deserving of a Stanley Cup or two, and he doesn't have one. And that's changed this year because of a few different things, including goaltending from Braden Holtby and the fact that they're playing the deepest four-line defensive brand of hockey that they ever have. But I will say this in the defense of the people who quote-unquote knock Ovechkin. This is the best two-dozen-game run that he's had. Not that they've had one this long, but there have been very few moments where you look back and you go, he could have done something more there. I think he's just older. He's more mature. He's married now. Early in his career, probably went out and hung out a little bit more. I think he is very focused, doing all the little things between games to make sure that he can give you 20-plus minutes of really productive hockey on the ice. And this has far and away been his best playoff, and it's not a coincidence. The Caps are on the verge of a cup because of it.
Grant, we talk about the difference between this Caps team and Caps teams that we've seen come short up year after year. And one player that stands out to me is Smith Pelly. I'm curious. I mean, the grit this year seems to be a little bit different. That might be part of the change. But what has Smith Pelly meant to this team defensively? It really feels like that guy's been a difference maker this season.
Yeah, it's a great observation. He is better in the playoffs than he is in the regular season. And that's not working back from a result here anecdotally. Kind of been the career arc. If you go back to his earliest days with the Ducks, he's a straight line skater. He is a physical hockey player who works well in tight spaces. And the games that he thrives in and really succeeds in the regular season are some of the bigger, kind of heavier games that get played when two good teams are operating for the top of the division or something like that. He's been unbelievable. For people who haven't been following, he had 7 regular season goals this season in over 70 games. He's got 6 goals this postseason. He was brought in on a two-way contract, not guaranteed anything, had to win a job on the Capitals in training camp, and barely did, by the way. He got off to a really poor start to the point where people thought, uh-oh, this isn't going to work. And he's bounced all over the place. He spent a little time on the top line with Ovechkin and Kuznetsov, but he's really found a home this postseason on the fourth line, and he is a menace. You mentioned the defensive play. He's very physical behind the net and helping out when he goes back. But the forechecking on the offensive end of the ice, the digging and the getting into the tough, tight spaces around the cage, crashing the net, things that for years the Capitals just haven't had guys do enough. They'll bring a player in to do it. Sometimes they will. Smith Pelly has been in the right place at the right time, has benefited from some puck luck, and he has just been your prototypical obscure postseason hero. And he's really, if the Caps can finish this thing and win a Stanley Cup, going to be a legend in this town for a while, because it's been a pretty epic run out of nowhere for him.
Grant, give us a feeling of the town down there, because Philly with the Eagles championship, and they've got this Sixers team on the horizon. Boston has more rings than they know what to do with. New York's had the success of the Yankees. DC, you got to go back to the 92 Redskins the last time you got a championship. I mean, what has it been like here for over 2 decades now, nearly 3 in Washington as a sports fan?
Well, the thing that people don't really, I don't think, pay enough attention to with DC is that they've got the 4 major sports teams. So there are certainly cities with longer droughts, but not with 4 major sports teams that have been as unsuccessful in the playoffs as DC has. So it's 26 years since the Redskins' early January parade 92 after the 91 football season. But you've got to account for the fact that before this Caps run, it had been 2 decades on the dot, 20 years, over half of which spent with all 4 major sports. The Nationals came back in 2005, where nobody had gotten to a conference final, which is kind of hard to do when you're as good as these teams have been. I mean, the Capitals have been the best team in the regular season for the majority of the last 7 or 8 years in hockey, multiple President's Trophies as the best record and the most points. The Nationals win their division more often than they don't, and they've had the number one seed in the National League multiple times. And all you got to do to get to the elite championship series in baseball is basically stub your toe and you accidentally are there. You need to win three games. And with their pitching, with Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg, the way they've been built, it's unfathomable that that hasn't happened. So it's not just the lack of titles in D.C. It's the lack of even opportunity to get to the Final Four in a sport. The Capitals, having done it once in kind of a fluke run in 98 when hockey here was not quite huge yet, pre-Ovechkin. So this has been a long time coming. You would have thought yesterday there was a presidential inauguration or something downtown. There were thousands of fans in the streets watching on big screens set up all over the place. It's just been a real party atmosphere. And the fact that it's the Caps and it's hockey and that it's not the Redskins who dominate this town doesn't matter. You know, people are euphoric and giddy and joyous. And it's unlike anything we've experienced here. If you're my age, 30 or younger, this is just kind of a big dream. You never knew what it would be like. You've seen these pictures, these images, these videos in cities all over the land for so long. And now it's your city. And it's why you do it. It's why you suffer through somebody that kicks to the stomach, because it really is worth it.
He's Grant Paulson, the co-host of Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan in Washington, D.C. Their show every midday from 10 a.m. To 2 p.m. You can hear it on the radio.com app as well. I want to go back to earlier in the series, the Braden McNabb hit on Kuznetsov. It didn't seem like a dirty hit, but certainly a hit that kept him out of that game. And this is the Stanley Cup playoffs, so I don't think there was ever a doubt that he was going to come back into the series and contribute. You know, we could talk about whether or not he's the MVP of this series so far, but I'm curious as to if you know anything about his injury other than, oh, that's that upper body injury.
So it was a shoulder from what I was told. And I was told right after the game that the Capitals thought for sure he'd be back in the series, but that he may have to miss a few days, probably a game. And then it pretty much stunned a lot of people, including his teammates, when he was not only able to go on the ice the next morning in practice, when he was inactive as he was. Then the next day, 2 days later, he's in the morning skate. And he did everything. He took all the rushes, and it was very clear right then and there he was going to play, and he wasn't going to miss any time. I think his teammates were not only thrilled that he was going to be ready for Game 3, but that he looked like his old self for the most part. He goes out, and he has an assist, a couple of shifts into the game, almost set up a goal, and then later had this assist on the first goal, and then scored in the second period on the second goal of the game, and he really didn't miss a beat. In terms of the injury and specifically what happened with the shoulder, I'm not too sure. It looked like a wrist or a hand at first, and I was told his shoulder, which had already been bothering him, got jammed, and maybe even could have been misplaced or something for a moment. But what we know is clearly within a day or so, he felt a lot better because he has shown no ill effects. He now has 29 points in these playoffs. He's got 7 multi-point games and what is essentially just over 20 games of playing full and healthy where he didn't miss any time with injury. He's been masterful. And my guess is if they were to win the cup and they do win one more game in these next three, that Ovechkin, based on not only the fact that he's been outstanding, but also as a lifetime achievement type award, would probably get a lot of run for the Conn Smythe. But I got to tell you, Kuznetsov's been their best player for me in these playoffs, particularly in terms of their goal scoring and their offense. They wouldn't be here without him. And you could say the same about Ovechkin or Holtby, who are both in the conversation as well. But Kuznetsov has just found a whole other gear that I'm not sure this fan base really knew he had. The Capitol staffers and coaches have said for years that he did. I think we just kind of assumed that they saw something that we didn't and maybe put him on a little bit of a pedestal, but he's making them look pretty good because he's played at a level that is something that if he did it for 82 games, Hart Trophy type hockey, and that's how dominant at times he's been in this run.
Grant Paulson, co-host of Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan in Washington. Our guest, a couple more here for you, Grant. Very serious question now. I mean, if folks who didn't see this, let me describe it. Bryce Harper shows up last night at Game 4 wearing a Vegas Golden Knights sweater. Now, Grant, I see both sides of this. I mean, he's from Vegas and wants to show hometown pride, but I could almost guarantee he's been to more Caps games. And by the way, he plays in Washington. So how did that go over down there, Bryce Harper showing up in the enemy colors in Washington?
I don't think this will surprise you guys, but it didn't go over very well.
No.
Fans were disappointed, and they booed him, and they were angry, and they were upset, many of them on social media, where sometimes you get even less reason and rationality, we're living. But I have no problem with it. And we talked about this on the show today. We took some calls on this. I'll go even further than that. I think it's silly to be upset at him. He's from Las Vegas. He has, for his entire life, wanted a professional sports team to call his own. He's a huge sports fan, and he likes all these odd teams that he kind of picked and chose to add to his resume because he didn't have clubs. He's a Cowboys fan, I think a Lakers fan. So the idea that he now has a team, and it's not like he's some bandwagon dude who just went there and wore a jersey. He is a huge fan of the Las Vegas Golden Knights. I talked to him for 5 minutes at spring training one day, and he knew all the players and their stats and the lines and the defensive pairings, and he really legitimately knew his stuff. He'd been to multiple games, and he dropped the puck ceremonially a couple of times. He is a huge fan. He watches every game that he can and DVRs others when he's home. So the idea that he should have pretended to be a Caps fan is ludicrous to me. Now, if you want to say don't wear a jersey because you don't want to be offended or bothered, that's less ridiculous, I guess. You wear neutral colors, but he didn't make it about himself. He walked the concourse with the fans. He went and sat in a suite. He wasn't on TV or standing up going nuts or getting on a microphone and chanting "Let's go Knights." You're just a dude at a hockey game who likes a hockey team from his hometown. I don't have enough energy at this point to get angry about that, but I will say I'm in the minority in this town because not only people on air, but a lot of fans don't feel the same way.
You know, you're giving him a reason to go test the waters in free agency and figure out where he's going to play next.
Oh, no.
Keep pushing him out. He'll end up in pinstripes before you know it. Grant Paulson, co-host of Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan in Washington, D.C., joining us. Finally, before we let you go, Danny, we got to get a little bit of Redskins talk in here. You know, we affectionately refer to him as the beige Impala of NFL quarterbacks, although last season his play really turned out to be more like a Lamborghini. Alex Smith, now the quarterback. What is the reaction, and how do you think Alex Smith to the Redskins is going to pan out this season?
Well, there was mixed reaction when he was added because plenty of folks here in town are still very frustrated by the fact that the Redskins mishandled Kirk Cousins' situation here and that they had to trade for Alex Smith because Cousins was on his way out. So by trading for Alex Smith, you had to give up a third-round pick, which could have been an asset that helped you. And you had to give up a really talented young cornerback in Kendall Fuller, who's going to start for the Chiefs right away, and was one of the three best players on the Redskins defense last year as a premium nickel corner, which is hard to find. That said, they made the best of a bad situation. I always liken the deal to the movie Argo, where you're trying to get some folks out of the country, and you only have bad ideas, so you pick the best of them. And Alex Smith, as an option to replace Kirk Cousins, keeps you afloat. I mean, you're not going to take a big step back. The bottom's not going to fall out here. The floor is high. You're probably still going to be in that 7-9 win mix. And if a couple of things go your way, make the playoffs. And if a couple of things don't, or you have a bunch of injuries, so maybe you're in the 6-7 win bucket. But he's a veteran quarterback who will give you a chance to win almost every single week, a lot like Cousins. I think Cousins is a better passer, certainly more comfortable in this offense, and you can put more on his plate and ask more out of him in the throwing game. However, Alex Smith is a more athletic, certainly more mobile, and better off schedule playmaker. And so maybe in the end, it's either a little bit of a step back or a wash almost, but I don't think it's a substantial step backwards. They saved a little bit of money by going to Alex Smith. The question becomes, how much did they improve their defense? Are they going to be able to stop offenses? Because the reason they haven't made the playoffs and haven't won over the last couple of seasons is, A, because they've had a ton of injuries, but more importantly, B, they haven't been good enough defensively. It's not because of their offense or Kirk Cousins. And Alex Smith is not Tom Brady, and he's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not going to wave a wand and make everything better on the other side of the ball. So that's really the big storyline. But specific to Smith, I think people are excited because when they found out Cousins was likely out, they just assumed they were about to spend a few years into that drafting a quarterback mode where you're swinging for the fences and you got a high strikeout rate, and instead they went the safe route and they hit a double off the fence.
What do people think of Daniel Snyder? Because the perspective I have here, I'm a Knicks fan. Check that, kind of a dormant Knicks fan, because over the years, I mean, the guy Dolan makes it impossible with his decision-making and some of his behavior, and I don't know if that's an apt analogy or not, but from the outside looking in, I'm just wondering, all right, have people finally grown tired of the Redskins owner? Because I look at other owners in the NFL that are, quite frankly, doing a much better job, Grant.
Yeah, I mean, he's an unpopular guy. I'd say he's an immensely disliked guy in Washington, D.C. among the fans. He's, for the most part, pretty far removed from the fan base to the point where I don't know that he even hears or sees any of the stories or columns or anything that's written about him. He's fairly secluded, which I'd say is probably good in terms of your health. But I would say this. He's in a pretty good spot right now, because the best thing you can do if you have been largely ineffective or unsuccessful and are unpopular in your role is to basically have someone that takes a lot of the shots for you that is more unsuccessful and or more unpopular. And he has that in the form of Bruce Allen as team president. Mm-hmm. And most of the vitriol with his fan base and most of the anger and the disappointment about most of the situations that go wrong, whether that's the mishandling and firing of Scott McLuhan's departure or the Kirk Cousins contract saga that went on multiple seasons too long. Bruce Allen, not Dan Snyder at this point, gets blamed for most of those things. And who knows who's actually at fault, whose decisions those were or weren't. But Allen is actually enemy of the state number one in Washington, D.C., believe it or not, among the fan base. Dan Snyder is far from a good cop, I would say, but you don't hear his name brought up as much because he's kind of out of sight and out of mind in so many ways. That may change again if and when Bruce Allen's no longer here, but for now, he's squarely kind of positioned Bruce Allen as a buffer between him and the fan base to take a lot of the arrows.
Grant, love having you on. Grant Paulson, the co-host of Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan in Washington, D.C., our sister station. You can hear Grant's show on the radio.com app every day from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Let's not wait a long time to do this again, Grant. It was great having you on. Hopefully I have the chance to talk again real soon.
Sure. My pleasure. Be well, guys. I'll chat soon.
Talk to you soon, Grant. Grant Paulson on 106.7 The Fan in Washington, D.C.
That was fun. And for a fan base, you forget it's been since 1992 that Washington has won, and they have four major league teams. When did the Nationals come along? That was toward the end of that decade when they moved down from Montreal. So to me, it's their time, Danger. It really is. I mean, anybody that wants to be upset about Vegas, you exceeded expectation. Everything is fun, and I guess my opinion of Bryce Harper wearing the Vegas Golden Knights jersey changed a little bit upon learning from Grant that, all right, the guy actually is not grandstanding.
Stupid. It's dumb. Anybody that wants to get on him for wearing that, it's dumb. It affects you in no way, shape, or form. It doesn't affect you at all. It shouldn't affect you at all. If you're a fan of the player who plays for that team, if you're a Washington Nationals fan, and you're a Bryce Harper fan, then all you should care about is how is he performing when he's on the field for the Washington Nationals. I don't care if he wants to wear a... I don't care if LeBron wants to wear a Yankees hat when he's at a Cleveland game, an Indians game. I don't care. It doesn't affect you as a fan. It's silly to me. And why... I'm almost jealous of the people who burn calories getting worked up over that. If that's the biggest problem you have, then you really don't have any problems.
Well, this will happen at some point if the Sabres ever make a run, right? Because there will be a Buffalo Bill that will show up in the, ta-da, the colors of the hometown. To me, if there's anything that needs to be said, and even Grant admitted that, you can tone it down just a little bit. LeBron going to a Yankees-Indians playoff game wearing a Yankee playoff hat in that town in Cleveland, it didn't go over that well.
Yeah, well, and what happened? When he won a championship, does everybody bring that up? Does everybody care? Does everybody, yeah, I'm done. I can't root for him. All he did was win a championship. He wore that Yankee hat. Remember how disrespectful he was? Stop it. Who cares? Don't burn a single calorie worrying about Bryce Harper wearing a Vegas Golden Knights sweater. That's insane to me. I don't understand how something that affects you, it's a zero. It affects you in no way, shape, or form. So why? Why are we getting upset about it?
You throw in the fact that he's a free agent. And where is he going to go?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You just gave him another reason to leave Washington. Congratulations.
This is not unique to Washington. It's not unique to Cleveland. This would happen in any town. Someday we'll have this conversation years down the road about a Buffalo. I'm sure we have an example if we dig through things about whether it was a somebody cheering against the Bills or cheering against the Sabres, something like that. Again, I wouldn't have done it. It's okay to go out and cheer for Vegas, but to walk the concourse in a Vegas Golden Knights jersey, that... Learning that he has been a fan since day one, at least he could name the defensive pairings, all right, then I'll give him a pass on that.
Nathan tweeting at ESPN Rochester, seeing all of these atmospheres around Vegas and D.C. just makes me jealous. I want that here in Western New York for the Sabres. I just think it'll be even crazier because the fans here just want to run a run like the Caps and Knights are having. Who knows, Nathan? Who knows? It would appear that this offseason things are looking up for the Buffalo Sabres.
Yes. Yes, that blue line might get fixed. You might have a goalie that could do a little bit more than Robin Lehner did last year. Are the Sabres going to make the playoffs? Look, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but I can tell you that they're not going to finish 31st again. Aaron writing into us, Gene Danger, you know who also started as a good scout before becoming a fleeceable GM? That goes back to our conversation last segment about the rumor that Ryan O'Reilly could be headed to Carolina, and there's a first-time GM in Carolina, and you know, if you wanted to deal Ryan O'Reilly, that would be a great place. Go take advantage of somebody. Aaron, appreciate that. Hashtag Whaley's words of wisdom.
Yes. Yeah. Do you think NFL executives took advantage of Doug Whaley? Do you think agents took advantage of Doug Whaley? Yes. Yeah. I think everybody took advantage of Doug Whaley. Yeah.
Yes. And you know what the result of that is? It's $48 million, excuse me, $47 million of dead cap money in 2018.
Yep. All right, let's get to I'll Drink to That next in the Sports Bowl. We'll give you some provocative thoughts from around the world of sports. You could agree or disagree. We love when you join us at 454-ESPN. That's 454-3776. And also on Twitter, as Gino mentioned, at ESPN Rochester. I'll Drink to That is on the way. Matthew Caller from ESPN Twin Cities as well. Stay with us in the 4 o'clock hour, the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPN Rochester. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action. From AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester. All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.